I'd like to thank everyone for turning in to the Vigilance Press podcast today. We're very fortunate to have a return visit from Dan Abnett of Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy fame. Hey, Dan.
Hello there.
Just had a couple quick questions for you. At SDCC, it was announced that you're going to be working on a Iron Man Thor miniseries. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. Andy and I are working on it with Scott Eaton, who is producing wonderful art for it already. It's Iron Man Thor, absolutely smack bang in their current continuity post-Siege, pitted against some significant opponents. A real epic scale stuff thing. I think Marvel's idea was to let us cut loose with the sort of things we do in the cosmic books in terms of scale and power, but with some of Earth's mightiest. And this really is a story where Thor and Iron Man are at the upper end of their abilities and power. And it should be great fun. We're sort of mixing and matching their traditions of magic and technology and coming up with some really good fun things. But like I said, Scott is just drawing some gorgeous art.
Nice. Can you tell us how many issues is this running for and when will it hit this?
4-issue series, and I think you'd have to check with Marvel. It's the end of the year it starts, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Can you give us any teasers about who they'll be fighting, or is that still under wraps?
They're fighting an interesting mishmash of sort of an interesting team up that's designed to take them on. But I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying that the big bad is the High Evolutionary.
Oh, nice.
It's about as huge and epic as you're going to get, and we've got some good fun things going on there.
Indeed. Now these two characters haven't really been getting along all that well lately.
No.
So
no, they haven't. So yeah, part of the story is about that. It's part of them sort of rediscovering if their long-term comradeship still works in this modern age, whether their too much blood has gone under the bridge for them to be able to sort of function as heroes side by side. But I think the story is very dynamic, very kinetic. It sort of carries them along for a bit until they're in a position where they can only rely on each other.
All right. Sounds great. I'll be looking forward to it. Now, this is kind of, I mean, you're kind of a guy who does amazing things sort of in the with the C-lists and B-list characters in Marvel.
Yeah.
And now you're working with two guys who are going to either have huge movies already or are going to have huge movies. So this is sort of Marvel pushing you front and center, it seems like.
Yeah, it's very nice if that's the case. I think it's also a case of a sort of a bit of a reward for working diligently on the C-listers and having fun with them and pushing them forward and making more of them, particularly characters like Nova, you know, bringing them up into the A grade so that he's now an Avenger. But there is that. It's sort of, it's like, you know, you've done a nice job, guys. Now have some fun playing with two of our A-listers. But I think there's also, it's simply, and I'm very pleased about this. It's very simply that the editor, Ralph Macchio, likes what we do on the cosmic books and sees the potential for the same sort of fun with these two big heavy hitters and just thought it would be good, thought it would be a nice fit. So we're very happy that he came to that decision.
Excellent. Well, hey, speaking of Nova, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in Thanos Imperative right now?
It's probably the biggest cosmic thing we've ever done. It very much is the culmination of a lot of storylines we've been running for a long time now. So there's all sorts of things sort of paying off. What can I say? It's the biggest threat. It's you know, one universe versus another. It's, you know, the stakes couldn't be higher. Some of the preview art that I think was going out around the time of San Diego showed how big this was getting and what sort of major characters were involved. We've got Gladiator, we've got Silver Surfer, we've got Ronan, we've got Beta Ray Bill, Quasar, Nova, all in the sort of cosmic lineup together going in. There's huge things at stake. Thanos, of course, himself is such an attractive and awesome character. I mean, you don't get much heavier weight than him in terms of the cosmic books. And it's interesting to play around with him in a slightly ambiguous way that he's not. He is definitely a villain, but he's not strictly the villain in this. You know,
he's almost an anti-hero in a way.
And placed up against the horrors of the Cancerverse and the sort of dark versions of characters we've got there. So yes, it's building with great momentum. We've just finished work on the fifth issue in terms of the scripting. We've obviously seen a lot of things coming in there. We're now prepping for the sixth issue to wrap everything up. And it's, I really hope that if you've been following us on the cosmic books up to now, this is the huge payoff that you were hoping and waiting for.
Now, a lot of my friends are big fans of Nova and Guardians, and they were wanting me to ask you if you can say anything about if those books will be on hiatus after this event, or if that's still up in the air, or if you can comment at all.
It's difficult to comment because part of the answer to that is that we don't know. They are on hiatus because these are books that are beloved by the audience that reads them every month, have huge critical acclaim, yet still, like so many books these days, struggle to find the size scale of readership that can guarantee their future success. So it was almost a case of we wanted to make sure that we got into these stories and did things with them, like the Thanos Imperative, rather than have them cancelled out from under us. We wanted to do this to boost their sales. If this works and interest is increased and therefore things are looking healthier, then I don't think there's any reason why either book won't come back. But it is a case of wanting to engage with the biggest possible audience, and you know that's the bottom line every time.
Okay. Hey, just a couple other questions. You've kind of got as I mentioned before, you've sort of built your career here in the last couple of years working with some of the minor C-list characters. And it seems like that could be a really great thing because you kind of have a freer rein to do something with those. Do you seek those out, or is that kind of what's made available to you, or how's that happened?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's something we certainly respond to the what you might call the C-list characters very much because there is that greater capacity for doing things because all bets are off. You never know who's going to do what or any, you know, what fate could befall people. I think also there is a very big enthusiasm within Marvel these days for developing some of the characters that have been forgotten but are still have, you know, inherent popularity, that sort of just bringing them back in, dusting them off and showing people that they've always been cool and that they're very interesting to run with. So we do go looking for them. I mean, Guardians, we sort of resisted the temptation of making Guardians a bigger lineup because we thought there was enormous potential within those characters. So it's a two-way thing.
Do you ever want to call Guardians of the Galaxy Avengers of the Galaxy or X-Men of the Galaxy just to boost the sales?
Yeah. we have dabbled with the idea of wanting to push for a book that is essentially the Cosmic Avengers. Which on the one hand seems to be eminently sensible and you could justify enormously, and you could have a lineup with, you know, when you've got characters like Nova, Surfer, Beta Ray Bill, you could have a fantastic heavy hitting lineup. On the other hand, there is always the outcry that comes from both within Marvel and outside Marvel that there are too many Avengers books. We can't keep up with them. You know, does everything have to be Avengers before it can get a sales? I mean, I think it'd be great if Guardians was a success in its own right without having to have the big A on the cover. It's difficult.
Yeah. Now, they've been kind of teasing. We've seen some publicity shots come out from Marvel that seem to suggest there might be a Cosmic Avengers in the pipeline in the future. You know anything about that, or can you comment?
I think the one you're referring to in particular is actually a shot that they borrowed from a scene in Thanos Imperative and just teased with.
Okay.
So we shall see. We shall see what happens. I mean, so anything's possible. Marvel. One great thing about Marvel is that if you build it, they will come. If enough people go, wow, that's the coolest thing we've ever seen, they go, well, in that case, it's a good idea, and we'll do it.
Okay. Hey, another question. Will Resurrection Man ever see the light of day again?
Well, given that that's his inherent power is to come back from the dead, it would be great to think.
Okay. How do you feel about the continual rebooting of some properties such as Legion, where it seems like some of the changes you made might get lost in the shuffle?
I think that's inevitable. It happens on all sorts of comics. I mean, when anybody sort of comes on board, there is that sort of new broom effect, whether deliberately or accidentally. Legion has got one of the problems we had to deal with Legion when we took it over was that it had such a long-standing legacy that was associated with a particular version and with Paul Levitz, who, you know, sort of the writer who's now back on it now and doing what might be regarded as the original Legion again. So it's not so much they've rebooted it as they've rebooted it rather than pre-booted it. One of the rules that we had to stick to when we were on Legion was that we could do anything we wanted, but we couldn't take it back to the original. So we always had to do this version that was unpopular with a certain percentage of Legion fandom. There was nothing we could do about that. So it's a shame. I think we crafted Legion into a form that really worked and had all sorts of things going for it, which is a shame to see that just sort of that version disappearing. But by the same token, if you're a Legion fan, surely you're happy that Legion has returned to its sort of default setting of the original, the best version.
Any plans for Sinister Dexter?
Yes, that continues apace in 2008. In fact, I've just this week got to write some fresh episodes. We're about halfway through, I think, a 6-issue run at the moment, and we're now working on the story that follows up that. That's got an enormously long-term slow burn thing. So we'll do sort of 3 or 4 week stories, which pack plenty of punch, but they all add together to make the bigger mosaic of what we're calling the War of the Moses, which is the overarching storyline about the underworld war between the two figures, one of whom it turns out is a clone of the other, but they don't realize that. So and with our heroes Sinister and Dexter caught in the middle. So yeah, plenty of that, and you know, plenty more of the absolutely outrageous, ridiculous puns that we know and love from Sinister and Dexter.
You're not using Clone War as a pun, are you?
No, I haven't. I've resisted that. So, yeah.
Good for you. Good for you, because I couldn't. Warhammer 40K, the movie. Can you say anything about that?
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to that being an absolute reality. I was out in San Diego promoting that. I'm going to be at Games Day in Baltimore next week talking about it, and they're going to be there. There's Games Day UK coming up. There's lots of further sort of opportunities to get excited about it. And I've got a phone ringing. I do apologize.
Oh, no problem. Shall I let you go?
No. Let's let it ring off, and then I can pick up again. And there we go. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Not a problem.
The movie is well into production. I've actually had the opportunity to see some of it. It was fascinating to watch, because some bits of it are simply that sort of wireframe, unfinished stuff where you've got to fill in a lot with your imagination, and there were suddenly bits of it that were fully finished and were very exciting. But it is great. I'm incredibly impressed with the work that's been done on it by the team, and by their intent, their absolute intent to make sure it is properly in keeping with what the fans want. I mean, I think with any of these things, there is the inevitable sense that somebody somewhere is going to be disappointed because it won't contain the particular thing that they were expecting to see as a, you know, must be in a 40K movie, because you can't possibly put everything in. But I think we've chosen wisely, and we've kept it very, very tight and in context. And I think the film has great action and adventure, but also great atmosphere and mood.
Okay. What's the release date on that? Do you know?
I don't think it's been given an official one yet. You need to look on the website, www.ultramarines.com, where they release, as soon as it's available, any information about the development and the production. And indeed, you can register there, and they will send information to you by email as soon as it goes live.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, just two more questions. I'll let you go. Any idea what's happening to Darkhawk after Thanos Imperative, or would that be talent?
I don't actually know.
Okay.
We have a few ideas about where we would take him. It really depends what we're able to do in terms of the cosmic books.
Okay. And a friend of mine who is a fan of Portal, or I guess otherwise known as Charles Little Sky, he got excited because he showed up in Marvel Zombies, so he was hopeful he might, you know, be back in the continuity. Do you know anything about this guy, or if he'll be part of Portal's life after Thanos Imperative, or really can't say?
I can't say at this point, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, Dan, I really appreciate your time. I know you're a very busy man.
No, my pleasure.
And before we wrap up, anything else you'd like to comment on?
The only thing I'd mention, which you didn't actually, is the one cosmic thing I can confirm is that we're doing a 4-issue Rocket, Raccoon, and Groot series after Thanos Imperative.
Oh, nice! I meant to bring that up. I'm sorry. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Okay. It'll run straight after Thanos Imperative, and it's got great Mike Mignola cover on the first issue, and it's sort of the cosmic fun that we've had in Guardians, but concentrating on two of the most popular and least likely characters. Enormous level of entertainment there. We're really looking forward to that, and that's well underway.
Nice. What's the time frame on that one?
That will be, well, let me think. Again, I think it's about November, December it comes out, the first issue.
Okay, so like you said, right after Thanos Imperative wraps up.
Yeah, it goes straight into it.
Excellent. So the tree and the raccoon get their own miniseries. That should be fun.
They certainly do, yes. Yeah.
Excellent. All right, well, hey, Dan, thanks again for your time. It's been really great talking to you.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye.